Anyway, good evening. 1 Timothy 4, been in it, and we're going back to it, talking about guts, having a good time, just diving into the Word. So, you there? 1 Timothy 4? No, what? You have your Bibles, right? Go ahead, jump in there. 1 Timothy 4, we're going to go through verse 12 through 15. And as we do, we're going to go ahead and pray real quick. Dang, even they're all up in there already. Let's go ahead and pray real quick, and then we're going to jump into the Word. So, Father God, we thank you for each and every person in this room. God, we ask that your blessing would be there with them. Father God, that, Lord, you would allow us, Father God, the ability, the blessing, the anointing to be able to see your Word. And God, I pray that you would make it understood to us. God, I'm just reminded of the Word, Father God, Nehemiah and Ezra, Father, where it says they heard the Word, they understood it, and the people greatly rejoiced. So God, I pray that we'd be in the same place. We'd be in a place, Father, where we not only hear the Word, but we understand it with our heart, and that we would rejoice, that it would cause change in the way we think, act, walk, talk, do in our lives. So Father, we thank you, God, today that you have blessed us with your Word. So much more than a book, so much more than just a to-do list, but God, you've blessed us with life in our hands. So God, let that life be a part of our everyday life. Our everyday living. Father God, as we pray these things, we don't just pray them for ourselves, but God, we pray them for each and every church in the Inland Empire. God, regardless of what their denomination is, Father God, whether they're our Seventh-day Adventist friends, Father God, whether they're our Catholic brothers and sisters, Methodists, Baptists, Episcopalians, our Protestant friends, Father God, you know, if they're talking about you, Jesus, tonight, tomorrow, yesterday, God, we thank you, Father, that they are on the same side and we're all living and working to make your name known, Jesus. So God, bless them just as you blessed us. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody in the house said, amen. Amen. Cool, we're talking about having guts, talking about having courage, talking about waking up and just screaming, yeah! Sorry, I kind of peaked on that one. Sorry. Just waking up and saying, all right, God, give me something to do. Because I'm ready. To handle this, not handle this, but to handle this, to take care of this, to get things done, to have a destiny, not just in my future, but to take care of the Word and the job that God's given me today to make it happen. 1 Timothy 4, a young man named Timothy, not too much different than our age, somewhere in between me and your, somewhere between Pastor Richard's old age of 29 and your age of 15-ish, wherever you guys are at, somewhere in between our two ages was this young man, Timothy, pastor of this huge church in a city called in an area called Ephesus, making things happen, seeing God do amazing things. You know, before the pastor's manual, before they had Bible college, before they had seminary, they had faith. You know what I'm saying? And that was the school Timothy went to. Timothy went to the school of faith. Some would call it the school of hard knocks, but I think maybe the school of faith was a little bit maybe a better way to explain it. And here he was in the trenches doing ministry. And his spiritual father, his mentor, his go-to guy, Paul writes him this letter, and in it he says in 1 Timothy 4:12, he kind of shakes him by the shoulder and says, "Timothy, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, conduct, love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity, till I come. Give attention to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by the prophecy and the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, and that your progress may be evident to all." So Paul is saying, Timothy, you need to step up your game. You need to take that next step. You need to have guts, my friend. You need to have the courage, the tenacity, and the go-to-itiveness to make your mark for Jesus Christ in your generation. I love what it says of King David, in the book of Acts. It says about David, it says, David served his generation. Served his generation. See, King David, Timothy, you look at all these young men, the disciples, these young men and these young women, they lived their life with a courage and a fullness of life. They lived it they lived it without living in the word of can't. Can't did not exist to them. You know, they lived in a place where God said, if it's impossible, I dare you. Dare you to challenge me to do the impossible because I'll make it happen. They lived in a world where the impossible was possible each and every day. And see, Timothy's being reminded, say, hey, look, Don't settle for what everybody else is saying. Don't settle for the conversation. Don't settle for what they're gossiping about you. Don't settle for the usual status quo, but live your life in such a way that it's an example, that you're blazing a trail, that you're going where you're going boldly where no young man has gone before to do something that's challenging. He's saying, Timothy, don't be strong. He says, be strong. He says, don't let them treat you like a boy, but be a man. If you're a woman in this place, don't let them treat you like a girl. Don't be a man. Be a woman. That's right. That's right. Step it up. I ain't talking no 3D dance movie. Man, step it up. Make it happen. Believe God for these things. See, Timothy was under this onslaught of verbal abuse. He was under this onslaught of people's dirty looks and backroom conversations about who they think he should be and what they think he should be doing. I don't know if you've ever been there, but Paul was saying, Timothy, stop messing around and listen to God before you listen to anybody else. See, and this is a story that's been told to young people all throughout the Bible. You know, if there's one thing the Bible is the Bible is not old. I mean, it's old, but it's not old. It's not a book for old people with gray beards in some type of, you know, uncomfortable tunic in a monastery. This book is for you guys. This book was written specifically for young people. This book is filled cover to cover with young people being encouraged to do amazing things. You look at a young Moses who was saved as a baby so he can rise up and be the prince of Egypt and then be the rescuer, the savior of a nation of slaves to make a nation of slaves to be a nation of kings. And he did it while through his young years, through his old years. Timothy and the disciples, you know, some of these disciples were probably right around our age in this place when they were called to do miracles. And Jesus took these young men and he talked to these young women and he said, look, I'm going to give you a little bit of nothing and I'm going to send you out to cast out demons and heal people. And that's crazy. That's crazy. And he spoke this to young people. He found this young king, David, in the middle of a field and said, you're a young little guy, but I believe in you, and I think you can be a king. Not just any king, but the greatest king. He said that to a teen. You know, God sent the angel to Mary, a teenage girl, who said, by the way, you're going to be pregnant with Jesus Christ. Talk about 16 and pregnant, okay? They didn't show that one on MTV, all right? I mean, could you imagine them doing an episode on Mary? I mean, number one, it'd be really weird because it was like 2,000 years ago. And number two, it would be kind of cool. I would watch it. Let's just say I would TiVo that, okay? I would TiVo it. I would definitely watch that on YouTube a couple times, okay? So here it is speaking to us in Deuteronomy. The man named Moses speaking to one of his guys, Joshua. You know, in Deuteronomy, God says something that he says throughout the entire Bible. He says, Deuteronomy 1:21. He's speaking through his servant. And here it says this. It says in Deuteronomy 1:21. He says this. God speaks through Moses, says, look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it. The Lord your God of your fathers has spoken to you. Do not fear or be discouraged. You know, that phrase, do not fear, do not be discouraged, do not be dismayed, all throughout the Old Testament, God shouts it from the rooftops. See, this word was being spoken. This was a sermon that Moses was preaching. And see, what happened is you have some 3 million ex-slaves traveling through the desert for 40 years. Well, the older generation got scared, and they got scared to believe God. They got scared to have faith. So God said, look, I can't do anything with you guys because you refuse to believe me. So you're going to die in the desert before you get my promises. He said, you're not going to see them. Why? Because they were scared. Fear stopped them from receiving the promise of God. But God said this. He said, you older generation, you're scared. You're too scared to believe me. So I can't do what I want to do. But the younger generation, they're just crazy enough to believe what I say. the younger generation, the older generation. I'm not talking smack about any adults or the older generation, because it's a different story here. But he said, if the older generation won't do it, then I'm going to choose the younger generation to do what I want to do, because they'll believe me. So the entire older generation, the grandfathers and the fathers die in the desert, and the sons and the daughters and the grandchildren rise up. And God said, the younger generation, they'll be the one to take the land. So they rise up, and Moses says this. He says, do not fear, do not be dismayed. He says, take heart and have courage. All throughout this book, he says, take courage, because what God told you can happen. You see, in this place, of all the things that keep you from doing what God's called you to do, it would be fear. I mean, it's the opposite of courage, right? I mean, you know, the opposite of fear is not fearlessness, but it's having courage. It's being brave and strong. I mean, what's bravery? I mean, bravery is looking in the face of fear and doing it anyway. Bravery is the kid who looks at the 12 step and says, I can kickflip that. You know what I'm saying? Bravery is not the kid who says, looks at the 12 stair on his PS3 and says, I can do that. You know what I'm saying? It's the kid who's actually there risking limb and life. Bravery is when you look in the face of fear. It's when you look down the nose of that bully and said, I ain't gonna take this anymore. That's a brave kid. You know what I'm saying? Hey, look. Bravery and courage is looking in the face of all opposition and still standing up to it and not running away. And God says all the time, take courage. Don't be dismayed. He says, be strong. You know, do these things. And it's living in the face of fear. It's living in spite of fear. And see, because if you allow fear to run your life, it will absolutely paralyze and stop you. Say it a million times, say it more, a million more times. That's the one thing that fear does, is fear paralyzes a person. But when God speaks, and God speaks to Timothy and says, Timothy, do not let them talk about you this way. He says, you need to have courage and you need to have guts. And there's this great opposition, but there's great opposition because there's great reward. There's great reward at the end of this difficult time, if you'll just hang on. You see, Timothy had a choice. I can either be afraid of the people, or I can be courageous in who my God is. You see, today, every day, you wake up. You wake up in the morning, and you have a choice to either let the day run you or to run your day. You have a choice to either allow this world and the people around you and the devil to speak to you and to dictate how you're going to live your life, or you can allow God, the Holy Spirit, to rise up on the inside of you and speak life into your life, to speak life into your doings and your plans, into your future. You have a choice every day to be courageous and walk out that door knowing that you have a plan and a purpose, or you could leave and walk out that door saying, gosh, I really hope that something bad doesn't happen. I really, you know, I'm so depressed, or I'm so down. Because fear wants to do something to you, but so does the Spirit of God. Wants to give you courage. You see, fear always slows your progress down, but courage will keep you going. Fear will always slow your progress down, but courage will keep you going. See, courage pushes you forward, and fear pulls you back. I mean, that's what happened. I mean, fear, I mean, if you're afraid, that's one of the first things you do is stop. Have you ever been walking home from school, and you hear, have you had a dog scare you walking home? You're like, oh my God, and you're like throwing your backpack, throwing your old ham sandwich. Please don't kill me. Eat the ham. Like a ham grenade. Pickles everywhere. I mean, have you ever done that before? Yeah, seriously. Sometimes even like a little stupid dog. What does it do? I mean, when a dog, you jump, you stop. Fear stops you. Fear's main job is paralyzing somebody. You're paralyzed with fear. Fear's main job is to paralyze you, to slow you down. Hebrews 12:1 says, lay aside every weight that so easily ensnares you. Every weight, every fear, every intrepidation, every question, every what if that attacks your brain is fear trying to hold you back. It has this tendency to make you hesitate. You know, I mean, that's why if you're on a ladder or you're way up high, they say, don't look down. Don't look down. If you're way up, especially if you're scared of heights, don't look down. Why? Because all of a sudden you start to get woozy and things like go all double-sided like in the cartoons and stuff like that. I mean, that's what happens. They don't look down because it'll make you hesitate and question yourself. And all of a sudden, something that you knew that you could do, even the simplest tasks become difficult. all because of the fear that begins to grip you. There was a prophet in the Bible named Ezekiel. If you got your Bible, go to Ezekiel 2. You can kind of see. I got two passages for you, but that's it. But they're really good. They're a little similar, but they shout out a couple different things that courage and fear do. Ezekiel. I got it in the Message translation. If you have the Message paraphrased, let me go ahead and put it up there. If you don't, then go ahead and read this with me. But it's an underliner. It says this, Ezekiel 2, 4 through 8. It says, these people. See, God was saying, Ezekiel, I want you to go preach to these people. I have something amazing. I have something. You need to do these outreaches, these ministry times. He says, you need to go talk to these people and you need to minister to them. You need to share them the good news. And all of a sudden, Ezekiel's like, these people are crazy. He says, God, these people, they're a hard case. And God's speaking. He says, these people, they're a hard case. These people whom I'm sending you, they're hardened in their sin. These are hardcore. These are people down in the midst of wickedness. He says, they're hardened in their sin. He says, go tell them. This is the message of God, the master. Go on. It says this. These people, they're defiant. They're a defiant bunch. Whether or not they'll listen, at least they'll know that a prophet has been here. Next one. It says, but don't be afraid of them, son of man. Don't be afraid of anything they say. Don't be afraid when living amongst them is like stepping on thorns or finding scorpions in your bed. Oh man, I saw this nature show the other day of the scorpion. It was the ugliest, most demonic thing in the entire world. It was like, its arms were like this. Like it was like leaning like a cholo. And all of a sudden what happens is when it gets close, it goes, wha-pa-cha, wha-pa-cha, wha-pa-cha. And then like, it was just nasty. And I was like, if that thing's in my bed, you know, I'm going to cry like a little girl. It says, or finding scorpions in your bed. Don't be afraid of their mean words or their hard looks. These people are a bunch of rebels. In Ezekiel 2, 4 through 8, it says this in the New King James. It says this. It says 2, 4 through 8. It says this. It says, they're impudent and stubborn. I'm sending you to them, and you will say to them, this is what God says. It says, for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, they are a rebellious house. Yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid, nor be afraid of their words, as their, even though it be as thorns, and as if you dwell among scorpions. Do not be afraid of their words or their looks. And he says in verse 7, then speak to them. Then speak to them. Whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they're rebellious. Next one right there. It says, but here, your job is to speak to them. Whether they listen is not your concern. They are hardened rebels. What does that have to do with anything you're talking about, Pastor Richard? See, here's what God's saying. God's saying this. I have a difficult job for you. I have a tall task. And he says in here, he says, these people are stubborn. They're hard. They're difficult. And you know what? God says, they're probably not even going to listen to you. Could you imagine God saying, I want you to do something. I want you to tell somebody something, but they're probably not even going to listen to you anyway. But I really want you to tell them. It's like talking to your mom sometimes, you know? Exactly. You know, exactly. It's like God saying, I'm going to send you some people, but they probably won't listen to you. But he says, look. He says, it's not going to matter whether they listen to you or not. The whole point is that you're doing what I tell you to do. And he says, and the whole point is they're going to talk smack and trash about you. But don't be afraid or dismayed, because what they do is not your concern. Listen, what they do is not your concern. What they say is not your concern. See, here's what's going to happen is God has told you to do something. God has called you to live a certain way. God has told you about your futures. God has put dreams inside of your heart. And there's going to be people who are going to talk smack about you. There's going to be people who have their opinions about you. There's going to be people who tell you the way they think it should be. And God said, look, what they say and how they live and how people react to you is not your concern. It does not matter what they say about you, because that is not your concern, how they react. Your concern is you fulfilling a dream that God hasn't put inside of your heart. Your concern is doing the purpose that God has put you on this earth for, because how they react to what you're doing is not your business. It does not matter if your mom supports you in the decisions you're making all the time. Now, don't get me wrong, because you need to listen and you need to obey and you need to reverence your mom. That is not what I'm saying. But I'm saying not everybody in this house I know was blessed with a mom like me who calls me every day. And it's like, Mom, I'm 29 years old. I have two kids and I'm a youth pastor. I do not need you to call me every day. You know, maybe you weren't blessed with a mom like mine. And maybe your mom is a little harsher than that. When people talk sideways about you, it is no concern to you. whether or not they always approve of what you do. It is no concern if they tell you your God is fake. It is no concern to you if your teacher says this or that about you. Because if God has told you to do something, it is your business not to listen to your critics and your haters, but it's your business to let the voice of God be louder than any other voice that speaks in your life. Because he said, they're going to talk bad about you, but whether or not they listen or respond the way you want to is no concern to you. The concern that needs to motivate you is whether or not you're living your life for Jesus Christ. I love it. I love the picture. King David, this little teenage boy, King David, on top of a hill, looking down at a 13 foot tall, ugly man with sideways teeth, Goliath, with like a 10 foot sword and a spear and a full body of armor, and a little 17-year-old boy with a stick and a rock on the top of a hill looks at this hardened warrior that has killed dozens of men before. And what does King David do? He runs at him with a stick and a rock and says, I'm going to kill you, sucker. And when I'm done killing you, I'm going to cut your head off and kill you again. And he runs at his enemy. Isn't that exactly what God's called us to do? God has said, look at this really difficult day that's in front of you. And God says, you know what about this really difficult day? I'm not going to take it away from you. I'm not going to make your difficult day easier from you. What I want you to do is pull up your pants and put on your big girl undies. And I want you to run head first into that difficult day and show that day who is boss. Because the problem is this, is we ask God to solve all my problems and we say, God, please take all the difficult times away from me. And God, when times get tough, God, just turn on the air conditioner and make things really happy, because God, I haven't had my happy meal today. And God says, look, I'm going to hand you a bunch of slime, and I want you to turn this slime into a beautiful sculpture of life. And I'm going to hand you a difficult situation, and I want you to take that difficult situation, and I want you to allow me to turn it into a miracle in your life. I'm going to hand you a big pile of doo-doo. And you are going to turn this doo-doo into a garden, because it no longer is doo-doo anymore. It's now fertilizer. He told Ezekiel, I'm sending you to people to tell them a message they probably won't listen to. Bummer. But you're going to say it anyway, and I'm going to get you through it. And today, because Ezekiel did this, we are reading a book about his name that is named by him, that is written about the amazing things he did for God thousands of years later, because he refused to ask for first class and air conditioning. But said, God, I'll take the most difficult day you can have. I'm going to run headfirst, and I'm going to cut its head off. And if it tries to get up again, I'm going to cut its head off again. And it's going to be cool. You see, fear wants to paralyze you. But courage pushes you forward. Courage keeps you going, even when the direction you're going in is difficulty and hardship. You see, fear makes you doubt yourself, makes you doubt your call. Happens all the time. Happens to me all the time, too. I mean, I thank God I married my wife, because she helps slap me out of it sometimes. And you know, when she starts doing that, I start slapping her out of it sometimes. Because, you know, it's true. Fear will... I ain't slapping my wife. Y'all crazy. See what you guys say? Yeah, that's right, Pastor Richard. Tell her. You're right. If I did that, man, I'm going to tell you right now, you would not see Pastor Richard next Wednesday. You'd be seeing pictures of me in traction in a hospital. Black eyes. Oh, you'd care what's left of me. But it happens all the time. See, fear will slow your progress, but courage will keep you going. Fear will make you doubt your call, but courage solidifies the direction in which you're going. Happens all the time. Things aren't going the way you think. Maybe I'm not called to do this. Maybe I shouldn't be a Christian. Maybe I shouldn't go to college. Maybe I'm not meant to graduate out of high school. Something difficult happens. Maybe you make a stupid decision. Maybe I need to drop out. Maybe I need to run away. Maybe I wasn't called to be in ministry. Maybe this is just too difficult. You begin to question yourself. Was I really cut out for this? You begin to question your call. It happens sometimes, Pastor Michelle and myself even. We begin to think, are we really supposed to be doing this? Are we supposed to be? And you know, all of a sudden, you know, courage says no. No, 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 no. Courage says no. It says no. It says shut up. Courage says it is time for you to stand up. And did God not call you to do this? Because if God called you to do this, then there is no reason you should stop. Because the only reason you should stop is because God tells you to stop. Sometimes we don't hear the voice of God. And the reason we don't hear the voice of God is because God is waiting for us to finish what he told us to do last time. And he'll begin speaking when you finish what you first did, we're supposed to do. But because of fear, we've stopped and gone backwards. Jeremiah 1:7-10 says some similar things. Go ahead and turn there real quick and we're going to shut this bad boy down. Jeremiah 1:7-10 is another passage that says, don't, you know, it says, do not fear, do not be discouraged, it says, do not be dismayed. Jeremiah 1:7-10, amazing verse. It's an underliner. You better get your pen, underline your, I mean, if you don't have your Bible, underline your neighbor's Bible. It says, but the Lord said to me, God grabbed Jeremiah by the shoulders and slapped him around and said, look, do not say I am just a youth. Don't say I'm just a boy. Sounds like Timothy. Because you shall go to all whom I send you. God, but what if they don't want to go to church? What if they make fun of me because I'm a Christian? No, stop talking that mess. Because you shall go to all whom I send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. I mean, God's saying whatever. If I'm going to go tell you to go talk about a pink elephant, whatever. No, God's not going to tell you to talk about it. That's crazy. That is crazy. But he might. I don't know. But whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you. See, God says, do not be afraid of their faces. God says, instead of looking at their ugly face, you look at God's face. Because when you're looking at the wrong face, all of a sudden that begins to dictate you. You see, when David was on the top of that hill looking at Goliath, he did not see Goliath's face. What did he say? He said, how dare you, sucker? How dare you defy the name of my God? He says, I'm not looking at Goliath's face. I'm looking at my God's face because my God is tougher than you, fool. I don't care who you are. I don't care who your mama is. I don't care who you've been beating up lately. I don't care how tall you are. I don't care how sharp your sword is because I ain't looking at your business. I'm looking at my God's business. And my God's business says, you know what? He's a lot bigger than you, sucker. I know I'm getting a little crazy today. I don't know. Thank you. Thank you. Up top. Whoop. Brother gonna preach. I don't know if it's good, but I'm gonna preach it. No, I know it's good. It's actually pretty darn good. Anyway, he said, God said, don't look at their faces. What he said to Ezekiel, don't listen to their words. You see, Jeremiah got himself all jacked up in the head saying, I'm just a kid. Maybe I'm not supposed to be doing this. I'm too young to be doing this. These people got Jeremiah all jacked up in his head thinking, well, maybe I'm not called. Maybe I shouldn't be. This is too difficult. God, you need to pick somebody tougher. Moses said, God, how are you going to have me talk to people because I can't even talk straight? I stutter all the time. And God said, I'm God. You know what I'm doing. If God told you to do it, you think God's stupid? Because seriously, if he told you to do it, aren't you the best man for the job? Because you can doubt yourself all you want. Because truthfully, we're pretty jacked up, right? I mean, we could be kind of stupid sometimes. Can I just be real? Okay, Pastor Rich is not the sharpest tool in the shed. But, y'all, amen. That's right. Now, y'all, shut up. Yeah, you did say yeah. I may not be the sharpest tool in the shed, but if I'm the tool that God picked, then I'm the right tool for the job. I don't know how sharp you are. But if God chose you to do something, you need to stop making excuses to God. But God. God don't want to look at your butt. God wants you to open your eyes and say, well, if God said so, then it's going to be a pretty big miracle to use me. But that doesn't the larger the miracle glorify God even that much more? He said, Jeremiah, stop making excuses, man. So stop letting fear dictate your life. Stop saying you're too young, you're not the right man for the job. Because if God says you're the right man for the job, then that's all the qualifications you need. That's all you need to put in your resume. God said, I'm supposed to do this. That's it. When it comes to you being called by God,
that it takes. Because right now, I mean, what do you, think, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? What do you want to do? Engineer, teacher, maybe a housewife? Because I'm going to tell you, being a housewife is pretty difficult, you know. Maybe, do you want to, police officer, do you want to travel? Do you just want to graduate out of high school? Do you just want to make it to college? I mean, what dreams? Now, there's a million different reasons you can't do it. You can't go to college because it's too expensive, because, you know, you don't think you're going to get accepted, because your SATs aren't going to be high enough, because you're not going to graduate out of high school because nobody in your family's graduated out of high school before. You're not going to graduate out of high school because, you know, you're in one of the worst, you know, districts in California. You know, there's all these reasons you can't. But you got one really good reason you can. His name is Jesus Christ. Yeah. You can. Why can you? God said, don't tell me why you can't, because I will tell you why you can. He says, you will go and you will say the things I told you to do, and you will live a life that is pure, and you will live a life that is not getting sucked in by drugs. You will live a life that doesn't have to give in to sexual immorality. You will live a life that is contrary to the statistics of the day. You will marry someone and not get divorced. Why? Not because you can't, but because I said you can. And he said this. He said, look, he said you will. Why? Because what was Jeremiah supposed to do? He was supposed to say what God told him, which means he was listening to God. He was going to the people God told him to, which means he was following God. So as long as Jeremiah was doing what he was supposed to do in his relationship with God, every reason he couldn't didn't matter, because he was doing the one thing that made his can work. He had the courage to follow after God, to not listen to the opposition, and when he did that, his calling was made secure. His calling. Because everybody in this room, I remember I talked to a teenager one time, he said, you know, Pastor Richard, I just don't think I'm called to do anything because I'm not going to be a pastor or this. And I said, that's baloney. I said, that's bull. I told him that. I said, it's because everybody in this room has a calling. A calling doesn't mean you're going to be in ministry and preaching at a pulpit, but a calling means that God has a specific plan for your life to do something. And that's why you have talents. That's why you like to do the things you do, because God has made you, created you to like to do certain things so you can grow and fulfill a destiny that he has for you, whether that's reaching out, helping people, a social worker, whether that's to be a college professor, whatever it is, to fulfill the dream that God's put inside your heart. You are called to do that. And if God called you to do that, there's no reason you can't, unless you turn your tail on God and you let fear make you feel like, well, I don't know. I'm not too sure. I was watching Phineas and Ferb the other day. That's right, amen. And they said to Phineas and Ferb, it's as almost as if they were reading out of the Bible, they said, aren't you kids a little too young to be building a time machine? And what'd they say? No. Aren't you a little too young to be building a roller coaster? Aren't you a little too young? You know, no, they're not. Because Phineas and Ferb read Jeremiah. You didn't know they go to church, did you? You didn't know that. Man. They didn't go to camp, though, because they were too busy going back in time. I was pretty whack. I had to call them on that one. But anyway, you know, doubt and fear will make you question your call. And if God has designed you and called you and written for you to be in the place you're supposed to be, then who are you? Who am I to not have the courage to follow after him? See, fear is going to slow your progress down every time. It's going to freeze you. It's going to lock you up. But you having the guts to stand up and refuse to listen to the words of other people, even in the face of difficult and even impossible. I mean, God asked Ezekiel to do something impossible. He said, I'm going to go tell you to tell somebody that's not going to listen to you something. That's impossible. He said, but you're going to do it anyway. God told him to do something impossible. It didn't make any sense, but God told him to do it anyway, and he did it, and we're still reading about it today. God's going to tell you to do something impossible. So, you know, sometimes if you don't have any critics, then maybe you aren't listening to God close enough. Maybe you aren't pushing and having enough courage. You know, I remember I was telling somebody, I remember somebody was on the internet complaining about their haters, saying people doing this and saying this. And I said, well, they're hating on you because you're doing something good. Haters aren't going to hate on something stupid. Haters, they're going to hate on somebody who's doing something, going someplace, making something happen. Because haters hate because they aren't doing something. Because I don't got time to hate. I'm too busy to hate on somebody. See, if you're doing something good, then you're going to attract critics. Because critics get all bent out of shape when they see somebody doing something they wish they could be doing. Joshua had critics. Jesus had critics. David had critics. The disciples had critics. Maybe it's time you do something so big that you start earning yourself some critics. Because a life lived easy, nobody's complaining about that one. But somebody who's living boldly for Jesus Christ got the courage. Timothy had critics because they're doing something that other people only wish they could do. And when you do something like that, when you stand up and do something outside the status quo, you begin to win an audience with people who will listen to you so you can share the hope of Jesus Christ in their lives. Oh, make someone get the goosebumps, huh? So it's time that you don't let fear slow you down. Don't let fear question who God created you to be and the job that God gave you, because there'll always be a reason. But let courage solidify your direction. If you guys have anything in God today, let's give him praise. Dang. All right.